Nick Schinkel, the director of the West Lafayette Public Library, reviews the latest novel by Nobel Prize-winning author Toni Morrison. Schinkel begins by reading from the book, Home.
They rose up like men. We saw them. Like men they stood. We shouldn't have been anywhere near that place. Like most farmland outside Lotus, Georgia, this one here had plenty of scary warning signs. The threats hung from wire mesh fences with wooden stakes every 50 feet or so. But when we saw a crawl space that some animal had dug, a coyote maybe or a dog, we couldn't resist. Just kids we were. The grass was shoulder high for her and waist high for me, so looking out for snakes, we crawled through it on our bellies. The reward was worth the harm grass juice and clouds of gnats did to our eyes, because there right in front of us, about 50 yards off, they stood like men. Their raised hooves crashing and striking, their manes tossing back from wild wide eyes. They bit each other like dogs, but when they stood, reared up on their hind legs, their forelegs around the withers of the other, we held our breath in wonder. One was rust-colored, the other deep black, both sunny with sweat. The neighs were not as frightening as the silence following a kick of hind legs into the lifted lips of the opponent. Nearby, colts and mares, indifferent, nibbled grass or looked away. Then it stopped. The rust-colored one dropped his head and pawed the ground, while the winner loped off in an arc, nudging the mares before him. Since you're set on telling my story, whatever you think and whatever you write down, know this. I really forgot about the burial we had seen. I only remembered the horses. They were so beautiful, so brutal, and they stood like men. That's the opening from chapter one of Toni Morrison's newest novel called Home. And from that childhood memory in rural Georgia, Morrison tells this latest tale of home. She's known for her close examination of the misfits of American society, and in Home, she doesn't disappoint nor stray far from expectations. But in Home, Toni Morrison gives us an ending that I think will surprise. As a San Francisco Chronicle reviewer of this book wrote, the latest novel by Toni Morrison is almost eerie in its timelessness. Set in the 1950s, it does not evoke the martini and pinched waist nostalgia of Mad Men. Rather, it calls to mind the plight of today's veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan wars, end quote. For Home tells the story of the ironically named Frank Money, a newly returned African-American Korean War vet who sets off to find his beloved and troubled little sister, C, a journey during which Frank must travel from the American Northwest, where he was decommissioned honorably from the U.S. Army, across the still segregated continental U.S., into the still pre-civil rights era Georgia of the 1950s, struggling in that America, as well as struggling with his crutch of alcohol and his war-given legacy of nightmare dreams. Along the way, we learn the backstory of Frank and C, those two young people we met at our opening. From those opening words when we first discovered the two as youngsters, unwitting witnesses, to a brutal murder and burial in the midst of all that joyous horseplay, we learn of their growing up with an extended family which brought them more pain than good. We learn of the people each met in their journey towards adulthood as they leave their loving parents and their abusive grandparents. These people who help Frank find his penniless way back to Georgia. And the Good Society Doctor of Atlanta who puts C's life and her spirit at terrible risk. Yes, the sad story of segregated societies in America have been told many times over. But in Home, Morrison's quiet evocation of an America deeply divided by racial segregation is newly thought-provoking without being openly angry. Through her prose and her story, we can taste the bitterness in which people lived in this time of America. And we can taste as well the forbearance and the heroic actions of all Americans in making their way through the 1950s. Morrison's careful drawing of the daily stings of segregation that strike us as so surprising today are painted with prose that is terse, yet full of meaning. In this short episode, Frank Money is being taken by a fellow that he just happened to meet on his way across the country. The fellow's going to take him to get new shoes. And this is what happens downtown in a major metropolitan area of the United States when Frank and his friend go to that shoe store to pick up something new. Okay, now for some grown man shoes. Tom McCann, or do you want Florsheim? Neither, said Frank. I ain't going to a dance. Work shoes. Got it. You got enough money? Yep. The police would have thought so, too. But during the random search outside the shoe store, they just padded pockets, not the inside of work boots. Of the two other men facing the wall, one had a switchblade confiscated, the other a dollar bill. All four lay their hands on the hood of the patrol car parked at the curb. The younger officer noticed Frank's medal. Korea? Yes, sir. Hey, Dick, they're vets. Yeah? Yeah, look, the officer pointed to Frank's service medal. Go on, get lost, pal. The police incident was not worth comment, so Frank and his friend walked off in silence. Then they stopped at a street vendor's to buy a wallet. As the reviewer in the New York Times Book Review wrote about Home, quote, part of Morrison's longstanding greatness resides in her ability to animate specific stories about the Black experience and simultaneously speak to all experience. It's precisely by committing unreservedly to the first that she's able to transcend the circumscribed audience it might imply. This work's accomplishment lies in its considerable capacity to make us feel that we are each not only resident, but co-owner of, and collectively accountable for, this land we call home, end quote. As strong as Morrison's crafting of the emotional story of Frank and his little sister C, and the friends and the foes they encounter are, through Morrison's words we can feel the heat of the Georgia summer as well. We nod at her wise observation that the heat of summer in the borderlands between Texas and Louisiana is too extreme to capture in words. As she writes at one point, you don't know what heat is until you cross the border from Texas to Louisiana in the summer. You can't come up with words that catch it. Trees give up. Turtles cook in their shells. Describe that if you know how. And I can't end this review without noting that, strong as the story told here is, Home showcases as well the beautiful and poetic prose of Toni Morrison. Here is yet another example of that beautiful prose. And once again, it's Frank speaking. Truthfully, other than getting lucky back in Lotus and some street girls in Kentucky, I've only had two regular women. I like the small, breakable thing inside each one. Whatever their personality, smarts, or looks, something soft lay inside each. Like a bird's breastbone, shaped and chosen to wish on, a little V, thinner than bone and lightly hinged, that I could break with a forefinger if I wanted to, but never did. Want to, I mean, knowing it was there, hiding from me, was enough. It was the third woman who changed everything. In her company, the little wishbone V took up residence in my own chest and made itself at home. It was her forefinger that kept me on edge. I met her at a cleaner's. Late fall it was, but in that ocean-lapped city, who could tell? Sober as sunlight, I handed her my army issue and couldn't take my eyes away from hers. I must have looked the fool, but I didn't feel like one. I felt like I'd come home. Finally. I'd been wandering. Not totally homeless, but close. Drinking and hanging out in music bars on Jackson Street, sleeping on the sofas of drinking buddies or outdoors, betting my $43 of army pay in crap games and pool halls. And when that was gone, I took quick day jobs until the next check came. I knew I needed help, but there wasn't any. With no army orders to follow or complain about, I ended up in the streets with none. I remember exactly why I hadn't had a drink in 4 days and needed to dry clean my clothes. It was because of that morning when I walked over by the bridge. A crowd was milling there along with an ambulance. When I got close enough, I saw a medic's arms holding a little girl vomiting water. Blood ran from her nose. A sadness hit me like a pile driver. My stomach fell, and just the thought of whiskey made me want to heave. I rushed off, feeling shaky. Then I spent a few nights on benches in the park until the cops ran me off. When on the fourth day I caught my reflection in a store window, I thought it was somebody else. Some dirty, pitiful-looking guy. He looked like me in a dream I kept having where I'm on a battlefield alone. Nobody anywhere. Silence everywhere. I keep walking, but I don't find anybody at all. Right then I decided to clean up. To hell with the dreams. I needed to make my homeboys proud. Be something other than a haunted, half-crazy drunk. So when I saw this woman at the cleaners, I was wide open for her. If it wasn't for that letter, I'd still be hanging from her apron strings. She had no competition in my mind, except for the horses, a man's foot, and my sister C, trembling under my arm. Something about her floored me. Maybe want to be good enough for her. Is that too hard for you to understand? Earlier you wrote about how sure I was that the beat-up man on the train to Chicago would turn around when they got home and whip the wife who tried to help him. Not true. I didn't think any such thing. What I thought was that he was proud of her, but didn't want to show how proud he was to the other men on the train. I don't think you know much about love. Or me. Home. It's titled because home is where the hearts are, wherever that may be. The past, Morrison seems to say, is always with us. It can't be ignored or shunted aside, because to be truly home in the present, we must confront the past. A final note, if you've been put off reading Toni Morrison because of the length of her novels, give home a try. I think you'll find every one of the almost 150 pages well worth your reading time. And speaking of being well worth your reading time, let's finish up the novel as Morrison concludes it. Frank has made it back to Atlanta. He's rescued his young sister, C, and they have gone home to Lotus, Georgia, that small town in rural Georgia where they plan to make a new home for themselves. As Morrison writes, perceptions alter. Fields shrink as age increases. A half-hour wait is as long as a day for a child. The 5 rocky miles Frank and C traveled took the same 2 hours it had when they were children, yet it seemed forever and far, far from home. The fencing that had been so sturdy had fallen down in most places. Its duplicate threatening signs, some sporting the outline of a skull, were gone, or mere shadow warnings poking through tall grass. As soon as C recognized the place, she said, "It's all burned down. I didn't know that, did you?" Someone told me, Frank said, but we're not going there. Frank shielded his eyes for a moment before moving off, tracing what was left of the fencing. Suddenly he stopped and tested the earth, trampling through grass, tamping it in places until he found what he was looking for. Frank stood there a long while, staring at that tree. It looked so strong, so beautiful. Hurt right down the middle, but alive and well. C touched his shoulder, lightly. "Frank?" "Yes." "Come on, brother. Let's go home." It's a beautiful story about a brother and a sister, set in 1950s America, and one of the best reads you'll have this summer. Toni Morrison's Home, a novel. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, including the West Lafayette Public Library.
That's Nick Schinkel, the director of the West Lafayette Public Library. He's reviewed Toni Morrison's latest novel, Home.